Good morning, Sunshine. It is Angie Atkinson, and I'm here for Shine Buzz Daily. So today we're going to talk about how to rediscover your true self after a toxic relationship. And it's not as easy as it sounds, but we're going to give it a shot. So we're going to jump right into our content today. And as always, for a live show, we will jump into the content. I'll do that. I'll share the cards with you. Then I'll open up for about 30 to 45 minutes worth of open Q&A. So if you have questions, comments, concerns, things you want to talk about, stick around till the end and we'll talk about it. All right, let's get going. Oh, excuse me. Let's catch a shine buzz. All right, so we all know when we go through a relationship with a narcissistic person, a toxic person, we sort of forget who we are, right? Whether we forget because we have become numb and sort of subservient to that person on some level, or because that person has literally crushed it out of us, we forget who we are. So on the surface, that seems kind of like, well, who else are you going to be if you're not going to be yourself, right? You know, because how can you actually be anything other than you are? But from the time that we are able to talk, even before that, we are programmed. And we've talked about this just recently. I'm trying to move my window here. There we go. We are programmed to sort of fit in to whatever box someone creates for us. And when we're dealing with toxic parents and or toxic adults in our lives, we find ourselves conforming even more than the average person would need to just sort of keep them happy. We become people pleasers. We find the need to fit in. And the thing is, what ends up happening is we end up suppressing who we really are. And when we come out of a situation where we have parents who are toxic, we really very often don't even know who we really are. You know what I'm saying? So a lot of times that means that in order to please the people that we love or who we think love us or who do love us, we change, we bend, we move. And that's normal up to a point. It's normal up to a point, even in a healthy relationship, to sort of grow together or sort of grow around each other. I've brought this up before. Sometimes in a healthy relationship, we are the water, the stream. Sometimes we're the rock or the stone. And what I mean by that is if you've ever looked at stones near like a running body of water, they tend to be smooth. And that's because over time, the water has smoothed them out as it goes past. And so in a healthy relationship, you'll see someone who, you know, certainly is themselves, but they've also kind of smoothed with the river, or they've sometimes done the smoothing of their partner and they sort of grow together in a healthy way. But when we're talking about a toxic relationship, it's more like, you know, the water comes along and rips the stone out of the side of the mountain and throws it down to the bottom, never to be seen again. Anyway, the point is, suppressing your real self leaves you with a really unfortunate side effect. And that is number one, that you end up feeling like not a person. I remember feeling like not a person in my toxic relationships. You feel like you don't know who you are, or you're boring, or you have nothing to offer because you're trying to be something you're just not, right? So one of the things that I think is so important for us as we get past the letting go part of recovery and we start to move toward becoming the person that we really want to be is just very simply the fact that we need to discover, my nose is so itchy, we need to discover exactly who it is that we are and who we want to be and choose that person, right? So we have to recognize then that the most important relationship we're ever going to have on many levels is the relationship with ourselves, right? So without that, I'm just going to cough and not in your ear. Little allergies right now. Anywho, without that relationship with ourselves, then we find that it's not really that possible to have healthy relationships with anyone else, because we don't know who we're presenting to that person. And we might be unintentionally presenting a false self, right? So if you are ready to get reacquainted with yourself and you want to know yourself on a true and deep level, you can start with the steps I'm going to share with you right now. All right. It's going to help you discover who you really are. And the first step is to just calm down the noise in your head, quiet it down. What am I talking about? Well, I'm talking about the voices in your head, and I don't mean actual voices, but those things in your head that tell you things like you're not good enough, or that tell you things like, you know, you'll never amount to anything, or have you done your work yet? Have you taken your dry cleaning in? You know, did you call your kid's teacher yet? Whatever those things are, and for just a few minutes a day, take the time to cut down, shut down all those voices, even the ones that you need, like, did you pay the bills yet? You need those voices. But knowing them, knowing they're there, they're constantly nagging you, they're constantly pulling at you, tugging at you. And so if you don't take the time to kind of shut those down, you're not going to be able to hear yourself above all of that, right? So quiet it down. And that's the first step. But how do you do that, right? So you do that by setting up systems, by simplifying your life just a little bit, by establishing enough space in your life or enough routine in your life that you can operate from a position of abundance rather than one of lack, okay? And this, it's about thinking about yourself in healthy ways. So practice doing that every single day. One of the things that I tell everybody is, you know, every day think of 3 things you're grateful for. I'm sorry, 10 things you're grateful for and 3 things you love about yourself. And the reason I throw in the 3 things you love about yourself is especially for us who have gone through the toxic relationships, because it helps us to start to remember, oh, there are things to love about myself, right? So think about that. Think about yourself in healthy ways. So if you catch yourself cutting yourself down, you know, reach in there and say, hey, no, we're going to be nice to me today, right? It's a process. It takes time. And I've told you guys a thousand times, one of the things that I always say to myself is, nope, I now cancel that thought and replace it with this affirmation of my true divine desire. So if I find myself thinking bad things, I can cut it off and focus on what I do want rather than what I don't want. It makes a big difference. But in order to do that, you have to first know and believe that you are valuable and that you have something real to offer the world, okay? And since we talk to ourselves more than anyone else talks to us, or more than we talk to anyone else, I mean, if you think about it, our brains are constantly blah, 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 right? Well, that's a lot of talking. And it's really up to you to kind of learn. This is where we talk about intentional vibration management, intentional thought management. Take the time to actually pay attention to your thoughts several times a day if you have time, at least once a day if not. And then you get used to it. It becomes a habit. And you catch yourself thinking, oh, I'm not, you know, smart enough or pretty enough or handsome enough or rich enough or whatever. And that's not really true. You know, you can change your life by changing your thoughts. Anywho, point being, consciously listen to how you're talking to yourself. Do this at least once a day for 10, 15, 20 minutes. Write down the things you say, whether they're healthy or unhealthy. If they're unhealthy, I want you to challenge those things, right? I want you to replace them with facts. For example, if you tell yourself, you never do anything right, I want you to write that down. And then I want you to draw a line down the center of the paper. And on the other side of that line, after you cross out, you never do anything right, you write down something like, you do a lot of things right. Right? It's a process. Okay. So that is something, you know, and you can even provide examples like, well, I did this right, I did that right, et cetera, et cetera. And then I made a mistake. So if you make a mistake, okay, I made a mistake. But then you say, okay, but I'm going to learn from it and I'm going to do better next time. I'm going to take this mistake as a lesson, a blessing even. Because like I told you before, the only time you ever actually lose is when you don't keep trying. You don't really fail until you stop trying, right? So get back up and keep going if you do fail, if you do make a mistake. So, you know, the next thing is to listen to your heart, right? And I know that sounds like kind of silly and like, oh boy, listen to my heart. What I mean by that really is intuition. Listen to your intuition. And I know it sounds easy enough, it sounds oversimplified, but the fact is that many of us, by the time we're adults, we have been taught to, and not just taught, conditioned to turn away from our intuition and focus on whatever other people tell us are true. And this is especially true when we've gone through toxic relationships. So if you take the time to reconnect with yourself, reconnect with what your intuition, what your inner self is saying, your higher self, find out, you know, what is it that I want? What is it that I love to do? It's easy to start thinking about things, your feelings. It's easy to start thinking about your feelings instead of letting yourself feel them, especially, again, when we've gone through this. I always wanted to, and in the most painful parts of my healing, I needed to do that, right? I needed to step back emotionally. Sorry about the noise. I needed to step back emotionally, and I needed to be able to go, okay, here's the science behind what I'm thinking. Here's the science behind what I'm feeling. Here's the science behind what they're feeling and thinking, and so on and so forth. That comforted me because it helped me understand that it wasn't me that was the problem necessarily. It was what I was dealing with in my relationship. So that's an important thing. And instead of asking yourself, well, what do I think about this? Ask yourself, why is this important? You know what I'm saying? So it's just really important to pay attention to the truth of what you're saying on the inside, the truth of what you're feeling. When your stomach feels some kind of way about someone, or you get a deep feeling of anxiety around someone or something, then maybe that's not something or someone you want to be close to. You know what I mean? But if you're around someone and you feel calm, you feel warm, you feel happy, maybe that is someone you want to get close to, you know? But never ever rush into that. That's another day. We'll talk about that another day. Okay. What you're after here is a feeling, right? You want to love yourself unconditionally without limitation. You want to respect yourself. You want to appreciate yourself, right? And this is opposed to being a great guy or girl, or this is opposed to getting that brand new car or buying that brand new house. You want to feel feelings toward yourself that are warm and loving, like you feel toward your closest friend or someone, you know, your child, someone you care about deeply, unconditionally, right? So you need to, I want to say this, it's really easy to be like, this is a bunch of woo-woo BS and I'm not going to listen to this, but just try to keep your mind open because it really makes a huge difference if you actually try it. I mean, hearing about it, whatever, but actually trying it, it'll change your life if you give it a genuine shot. You have to be able to keep your mind open, be willing to adjust those methods that you're using to hear your thoughts and feel your thoughts, right? So instead of, you know, running down the street on your way to work, eating a cheeseburger and, you know, texting somebody at the same time, you know, stop, stand still, put everything down, maybe not on the street, and take the time to actually feel what you're feeling. Think about what you're thinking. See if your thoughts are as important as you think they are. See if those thoughts are even accurate. Excuse me one more second. Okay. And then finally, be careful. Try not to get yourself stuck on a certain idea or a certain goal here, because I'm not saying that you're not going to form those as you go forward. Of course, you will, and you need to. But for right now, what we're working on is opening ourselves to the possibilities, right? So you might think in your head, you know, I am supposed to be, you know, I don't know, a doctor. My mom and my dad are doctors, and everybody in my life is a doctor, and I'm supposed to be a doctor. That's what I was told. That's what I always believed. That's who I am, right? But the truth is that getting hung up on that goal might break you, might turn you into something you're not. Because here's the thing. When you're told you're supposed to be this, that, and the other thing, and you get that stuck in your head, and then you can't be this, that, and the other thing because you're these awesome things over here instead, you're going to drive yourself crazy and you're never going to feel good enough. But if you let go of other people's expectations for yourself and even your own up to a point, and you think about what makes me really happy, what makes me feel really good, what would make my life amazing, and you start to be open to the possibilities that maybe you really can, you know, do some of that stuff. For example, let's just pretend I want to be a ballerina, which I don't, because that would be horrible. But let's pretend that I did, okay? And as a 5-foot-tall, 44-year-old woman who's not in ballerina shape, I would be ridiculous to think that I could be a ballerina, right? That's true. But maybe I could join a local dance group and, you know, learn how to do ballet. Or maybe I could even somehow get involved with a more, you know, a bigger dance group, and I could, I don't know, do their social media or something. You know what I mean? There are ways that you can follow your dreams no matter where you are in your life by thinking outside the box. Okay, that's my point. So you want to determine not just your goals, but how satisfied you would be if you really got to the point of meeting those goals, right? And how happy it would make you. Like, if you're thinking about work, for example, and you want to find a job that's in your locus, you know, your area of genius, let's say, the thing that feels like not work but still allows you to get paid. If you think about that, or you think about what would happen if I didn't have to worry about money, what would I do with my time every day? You know, those types of things are really big eye openers for what you really want to make of yourself and your life. And you know, when you see that those things satisfy who you really are or might, then that's when the mask, you know, I don't even want to call it a mask, but the, you know, let's call it a shell that grows around us during these relationships and this type of childhood. We grow up, you know, or we come out of those relationships, we've got a shell around us that was sort of put there by someone else. And when you figure out how to make yourself feel good, how to make yourself feel like you deserve to be happy and all of that stuff, well, then that's when that shell breaks away and the true you comes shining through, right? So that's it. It's a person you can know and love because it's you. You are that person. And when you find that self, when you find the self where you kind of step into yourself and you go, oh, this is it, this is the thing, oh, it's amazing. It's a beautiful thing, you guys. It's a beautiful thing. And it's waiting for you to take the time to listen so it can come out, right? When you accept your real self, your true self, you're going to make smarter choices. You're going to have a better life because the choices you're making are actually fitting the real you, right? So if you're anything like me, that's what you're really looking for. I don't know. You tell me your thoughts. Now, as I'm getting ready to, for the next, hello, everybody, as I'm getting ready to wrap up this part of it, I'm going to read the cards. And once we've done that, I'm going to open up for a live Q&A, so stick with me, okay? All right, as always, we're starting with our dialectical behavior therapy cards. And this is linked in the description, or if it's not, I can't really tell how to get these descriptions updated on these lives yet. I'm working on it, but if not, I'll put it in the description after. And this is a distress tolerance card. And today's, it's perfect for today. It says, use radical acceptance. Sometimes we all have to, this is your homework, so write this down, or as much of it as you need to. Sometimes we all have to accept a difficult situation, even if we don't like what's happening. Today, find an opportunity to use radical acceptance. Think about the chain of events that led up to this moment. Without judging, ask yourself what your healthy responses can be to this challenging situation. So basically, I talk a lot about unconditional self-acceptance, unconditional self-love. I'm sure you've heard of radical acceptance and radical self-love, similar concepts. In this case, it's asking you to accept some situation in your life without judgment for what it is. Now, let's just say, I don't know, you are at, you're driving in traffic and somebody pulls out in front of you. You have two choices. You can wave them in and smile, turn up the music and get your groove on and keep going, or you can get really upset and let it ruin your whole day. You know, if you do get really upset and let it ruin your whole day, unless you like literally pull that person over and get out of the car and talk to them, which I actually know someone who does that, then I would never, by the way, it's not me. But unless you actually physically connect with that other person who pulled out in front of you, which 99% of the time you won't, you're just carrying around this anger and frustration all day for no reason. So instead, accept, okay, some people, maybe that person's in a hurry, maybe whatever. Let go the need to be angry and upset at that person. Just accept it without judgment and move forward. Maybe even be grateful that you didn't get in a car accident in that moment. Something to think about. Okay, next up, yes, as Bonnie says, respond and don't react to those situations. And next up, our affirmation for the day. You're going to want to pull out your pen for this one, too. This is from the Gabrielle Bernstein Super Attractor deck. All right. And it says, it's a good one. It says, the universe has big plans for me and it's time to claim them. I like that, guys. The universe has big plans for me and it's time to claim them. Write it down. Write it down. All right, moving right along. I'm jumping in the chat. So everybody, let me know how you're feeling. Let me know what you need. If you have questions I can answer, here's the time. Pop them in there. Hello to Belle, Christina, Teresa. Hey, Teresa, how are you? I haven't seen her in a minute. She says, hi, Angie, been in exile been a while, I think she meant to say. Since I've been on one of your live chats, I love your background. Thank you for all you do. Thank you. And this is a relatively new studio I built, so that's pretty cool. I like it pretty much. And yes, it's kind of rigged up, but it works. All right, let's see here. Wendy in the house. Hello, Wendy from Hollywood, California. Welcome back, my friend. And Con P says, hi, everyone. Hey, Con. Deborah, Angela. Hello, hello. Is this Angela? Nope, not the one I thought, but hello and welcome. Deborah, Charlene, hello, welcome. She says, I'm so broken from this and I don't know what to do. Yeah, Charlene, it's a crushing process going through the relationship and the relationship ending. And I'm not sure what part you're in, but I know how it feels to be broken. So I'll tell you this, you know, there's nothing I can say in 1 second that's going to give you the comfort that you need, but I will tell you that you're not alone. And I will tell you that over time, you can become less and less broken. And also there's this quote, and it says something about you're more beautiful in the broken places. And I talked about this just the other day, but a lot of times there's a vase with some flowers in it, and you can see through the cracks of the vase where the light shines through. And my point is, yes, this part is hard, the part that you're in, but it gets better. You feel better, you feel healthier, you feel more yourself every single day. It's a one step at a time process, and it's not enjoyable at the beginning. But by the time you get to the end or the middle, it can start to be better. You find more people who understand, and this is what the Spanily here is all about, is understanding and supporting each other. Same thing over on our Facebook group and our off Facebook groups. So I guess, Charlene, what I would say to you is start by taking care of yourself. And if you have additional details you want to share, just pop them in the chat and I will grab those for you and answer them the best I can. It is dry in my studio, you guys. I should have brought my darn coffee. Okay. Sagittarius Queen, hello. Bell. It's so good to see you, my friend. Amneris says, I'm past the heartbreak, but now I am scared to meet anyone. I can't trust my judgment anymore after this. Yeah, this is also a common issue. And I'll tell you what. Here's what you need to do. Start with what we talked about at the beginning of this stream. You know, start listening to yourself again, to your intuition. You've been taught and conditioned to not do that. And that's part of the reason that you're having such a hard time, in my opinion. And so if you're able to sort of let go of what everyone told you you're supposed to be, and let go of the need to please other people quite so much, and focus on what really would make you happy by listening to your intuition, feeling your intuition, you know, constantly being aware of how you feel and what you're thinking and managing those things in order to move yourself in the right direction. It can really help. It again, it's a process, but you know what, being here is one step, and trusting your judgment comes with learning to, number one, listen to your intuition, and then looking back at times when you did and seeing how well things worked out, and then looking back at times when you didn't and seeing how well things worked out. For example, when I was about to marry my ex-husband, I swear to you, my brain was screaming, run! And I stood there and did it anyway because I thought it was just cold feet. It wasn't cold feet, I know that now, but I didn't know that all those years ago. So, something to think about. All right. Let's see. Khan says, I still have trouble with this a year away from the narcissist. And yes, it's not a fast process, but a year away is just enough time to start to maybe feel almost human again, right? And once you're starting to feel almost human again, well, you're on the way to the next step. And here's the next step. You start to learn to trust yourself again. You start to learn to figure out, who am I? Maybe you do a project. Maybe you want to redecorate a room in your house, or, you know, I don't know, start something new. Learn how to knit or something. You know, something that you don't know how to do already. Or even better, indulge in a passion you have or had but haven't been able to indulge in because of the narcissist. Like I was talking about painting the other day for me. Something I love to do, but something that I was kind of pushed away from for a while, you know? So things that make you feel good. Let's see here. Wendy says, keep watching these videos. Absolutely. Deborah says, do your research. It makes you feel better to learn what you went through. And that's true. And I know a lot of people will poo-poo that idea, but I think my personality needs it. You might need it too. I needed to understand the science and the logic of it before I was able to move forward and work through the emotional part of it. Because by taking a step back emotionally and looking at it from a scientific perspective, this is why I tell people sometimes be a scientist for a minute and think about this from this perspective, because it helps you to depersonalize it a little bit. It helps you to not take it so personally, to recognize that in fact you are not the problem here. And in fact, I mean, none of us are perfect, don't get me wrong. We all have our parts in everything. But when we're being actively emotionally devastated on a regular basis, you know, it's very common that we all kind of experience similar feelings. We all kind of experience similar types of verbal and emotional attacks and so on and so forth. So it certainly helps to look at the science behind it, the psychology of it, so that you can then deal with it emotionally from that point forward. Because they're, yeah. Okay. Hello, Maura. Thank you for being here. Hello, What's for Tea? Welcome back. Maura from our awesome mod squad. I appreciate you, my friend. And Charlene says, I have anxiety. I'm still broken and I have a fear of dating. Yeah. Well, if you're still struggling with the anxiety and the feeling broken, you're not ready to date yet. So that's okay. All right. The fear of dating in this case is probably warranted. Give yourself time to heal first. Because if you jump back into a relationship before you're ready, you're probably not going to end up in a very healthy place in the relationship or otherwise. So think about that. You are important. Your feelings, your heart, your head, all of that is truly important. And if you don't take time to resolve that stuff, you're just going to re-injure yourself, so to speak, by getting back into another relationship that isn't healthy. Yeah, Wendy said, don't date. Exactly. Yeah, we're all on the same page. I love you guys. Deborah said, you have to heal before you can date. Exactly. Hello, Chrissy. Welcome, welcome. Amber said, every little red flag makes me run. I went through the same thing. I was so silly back in my early 20s, mid-20s, I guess, after I got divorced. I went on probably about 50 first dates, literally. And I found little red flags and I ran from every single one of them until I decided to slow down and, you know, make sure I was healed first and then move forward. So that's something to think about. Hello, you and I. Welcome back, my friend. I am enjoying your responses to emails, by the way. It says, hi, everyone. Is this live or am I seeing a replay? Live! Okay. Con P says, I am a year out from the narcissist relationship and I have a hard time moving forward. I feel stuck. Yeah. Excuse me. I'm going to have to... Sorry about that. Okay. Yeah, Con, I just did a show on this earlier this week about letting go and moving forward. So I want you to take a look at that. But just on a real quick note, it's okay if you're stuck for now, but getting unstuck sometimes is a matter of one baby step at a time, right? So if, let's say, and I don't know your personal situation, but let's just say that you're struggling to keep up on your housework, okay? Well, if that's the case, then when you're ready to start moving forward, take a minute and go, okay, well, what is the easiest thing I could do in this whole place to make it a little cleaner, right? I like to look at a table and, you know, you'll find a table or a surface and you'll see that table or surface is cluttered up. Well, then I'll think to myself, well, that only take me about 2 minutes. So I'm going to go over there and real quick clean up that space. And once you've cleaned up that one space, sit down and take a look at it and see how you feel. And then, I don't know, make your bed. Making your bed is usually pretty easy unless you have like piles and piles of stuff on it. But if it doesn't have piles of stuff, make your bed, put some pretty pillows up there, take a step back and look at it. What happens when you do little tiny bitty baby steps like that is that you see it, it feels good to you. Like, and then you say you walk out of your bedroom and the next time you come through, because I don't know about you, but I go through my bedroom to get to my personal bathroom and it's right off my bedroom. And so in order to go to the bathroom, I have to walk through my bedroom. So if I haven't made my bed, which I do every day now, but if I hadn't made my bed in the past and I would walk through and see my bed made, I would feel, oh, that feels so good. So, you know, little things like that can help you. And then once you see a little tiny bit of improvement, well, you can decide to stop right there if you want. But if you're like me and like a lot of other people, you know, you're a body in motion at that point. You're doing something, you've done something, and now you're like, oh, that one looks so good, that table looks so good, or that space looks so good. I'm gonna take one more step. You know what I mean? So it's baby stepping and giving yourself permission to stop if you need to. That's how you kind of start to get unstuck. But watch that other video I did on this, not now, later, and let me know your thoughts on that as well. Yes. Yeah, Deborah said you have to research healing your anxiety. Yep. And she said, I went through the same thing. You can and it will will heal. Absolutely. Yes. Let's see here. Charlene is ready. Yes, yes, yes. You can do this. You can. I know it. Hi, Larry North. He says, I'm an empath and a victim. However, I have a backbone and a loving family that my narcissist tried to isolate from me. No way. Good for you. Good for you. Excellent news. Yeah. And, you know, we're not always quite as strong as Larry is, right? We, you know, saying I have a backbone, I get it. We all have one, right? Most of us. But it's easier said than done sometimes, especially when you have been emotionally crushed along the way. So just be aware of that and understand that while I fully support Larry's strength here, we don't always have that strength, and it's okay to not have it. It's okay to take tiny steps toward getting it. Okay. Don't beat yourself up if you're not there yet. Thank you, Wendy. Nope, you didn't miss it, you and I. Angela says, trusting in yourself and your gut instinct is so important. Yes. 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 C says, I love that. Get to know yourself. Yeah, we do need to get to know ourselves, right? Because when we are in that situation, we can't even look at ourselves like on a metaphorical level. Like we're so busy worrying about what someone else wants or needs so they don't get mad at us or come after us for something that we forget we almost forget we exist. We know we exist, but we almost forget even to think about ourselves. And we certainly forget who we are, or we don't even ever figure it out if we're starting out in a toxic situation. We might have an idea of who we are, but we haven't truly wrapped ourselves around it yet. You understand what I mean? Until we intentionally do so. Otherwise, you're just going to be whatever the world throws at you. You'll be that. And I think each and every one of you probably has bigger goals than that, right? Okay. Amnera says, and I'm sorry if I'm saying your name wrong. I'm bad at pronunciation of names. Meditation helped a lot. Yes, absolutely. Teresa says, I got past the hurt and disappointment that the narcissist makes you feel. I'm trying to learn to trust people again. It seems so scary to trust even extended family members or people at the store. I totally get it. I totally get it. And I'll tell you something. It's a process. And trust is relative, right? So I might go to the store and I might trust the checkout person to not steal my identity, you know, if I hand him my card. Or I might trust that nobody's going to run me over with their cart too much. That does happen sometimes. but that doesn't mean that I would necessarily trust the checkout person the first day I met them to come to my house and stay there when I'm not there. You know what I mean? So like it's all relative. You don't need to trust people blindly, I think is my bottom line here. It's okay to have conditions. It's okay to have boundaries. And I think that's a big part of learning to trust yourself again, is learning to know that you can and you will protect yourself with boundaries, putting those boundaries in place. That has been a big important thing for me with personal growth, is learning to not only define my boundaries and decide what it is I will and won't put up with, so to speak, and then also to enforce them and say, no, I'm sorry, that's not acceptable to me. Because for so long, I was taught, take whatever you can get. And that's a horrible, horrible, horrible way to be. Don't just take whatever you can get. You know, you are allowed to say no, and you are allowed to have boundaries, and you need to have boundaries if you're going to be able to trust yourself and other people in the future. I hope that's helpful. Let me know your thoughts. Deborah says, also research trauma bonding. Yes, that is an amazing thing we don't even realize we went through and how we bonded with the abuser. Yes, and I've done several videos on that as well. Yeah. Yeah, Amnera says, yeah, now I listen to my gut and I run. I like that. Yeah, my head was really there when I was getting married. Debbie Wilson says, I am very physically ill from all of this. Yeah, that is unfortunately a real thing. A lot of us, you know, almost all of us have some physical effect, whatever it is. You know, whether we struggle with body issues, you know, physical appearance issues, we have weight issues, we have, different psychological things that happen. I've done videos on this with experts before. For some reason, among the survivor population, I see a much higher incidence of different autoimmune diseases, like, and then also like things like fibromyalgia, neurological issues, lots of things, chronic pain, you know, that are, and they are a direct result. According to my, I'm not a doctor, but according to my research and according to people that I've brought in to talk about it at different times, it can be a direct result of the sort of nerve damage that happens as a result of a toxic relationship and ongoing verbal and emotional abuse. So it literally can damage your brain, so to speak, which is, again, not a doctor, but do your research. You'll see what I'm talking about. And again, I've done videos on that if you want to look at those later. Hey, Chrissy, thank you. Yeah, Wendy, it takes time. Sabrina says, I need this message so bad. We all do, honey. It's even for those of us who are already on the other side of it, it still helps to stop and remember what we need to be doing to take care of ourselves and to sort of re-embrace or rediscover ourselves a little bit each day. You know what I mean? It's an ongoing process. We're never truly going to be, you know, I think the minute that you get to the point where you're like, well, this is it. I'm done. I don't need to do anything else. You know, I've met every goal I've ever had. It's all over with. Then, you know, what are you even living for? You know, we're always striving to be a little better. I'm always striving to be a little better, a little, you know, each day. So I think that's positive. Khan says, I researched trauma bonding, soul ties, etc., but I still feel so stuck and I'm working on healing me. Well, you know, it's okay if you're stuck right now. Be okay with it, but do be thinking about and be open to sort of divine action or inspired action. Because what happens is, you know, sometimes you'll be just, oh, everything's terrible. If I could just do this one thing, well, maybe that's when you do the one thing, you know, or, oh, you know, things will get better when. Maybe you stop saying that. Maybe instead of saying, I can't be happy until, you say, I'm going to give myself permission to be happy right now in whatever I'm dealing with. And try it out for a minute and see how it feels. You know, because life is all a journey. You're never really there until you're there. And I'm not in a hurry to get there, if you know what I'm talking about. So, anyway. Charlene says, my narcissist talked about me to his family so bad, he married someone else and still isn't with the person he married and wants to be single now. Go figure. I'm homeless and staying with my mom. It's so messed up. Charlene, I am so sorry, but I'll tell you something. Talking bad about you to the family is a common narcissist tactic called smearing, a smear campaign, just very similar to the political smear campaigns, but more personal. And they do this for a couple of reasons. Number one, they get pity. They get a certain type of supply from people when they talk about the way that you've treated them, even though they're lying and exaggerating things or not telling their side of the story, or they, you know, people feel sorry for them. People feel, and then of course they have the people that not only feel sorry for them but want to date them when they do this. It's ridiculous. I used to call it a sob story. You know, oh, poor me, she was so horrible to me, you know, or he was so, whatever. And, you know, then he married someone, you said, and he still isn't with that person, and he wants to be single now. I mean, I would say that if, I don't know if that was your husband or your boyfriend, but either way, it sounds like you might have dodged a bullet with that person, because he's not, you know, you see he's not changing. They don't change unless they choose to, and I've never seen that happen successfully. And I've talked to a lot of other people like my, you know, experts in this stuff, as well as different psychologists, psychiatrists, and spouses of people. They don't change, not long term anyway. As far as, you know, being homeless and staying with your mom, maybe this is a time you can work on figuring out what you want in your life. And maybe, you know, while you're looking for a job or you're looking for whatever it is that you want, you can start to focus on what you do want, not what you don't want. Does that make sense? I hope so. Hey, Cindy. She says, love this. Thank you so much. Belle says to Debbie, they take it from you, don't they? I can relate. Stay strong. Yep. Amneris says, after 5 months, he is back and I almost fell for it because he was claiming he was going to hurt himself. But I blocked him again after 2 days. I almost fell for it. Well, good for you for not falling for it. Because you know what? That's the thing. What you got there is a straight up Hoover. You know, he probably, it was 5 months, then he came back. Well, my guess is he tried a relationship with someone else and they didn't give the supply as good as you did, so he came back to you. That's a very common narcissist thing. Or they didn't put up with his crap, either way. And I'm glad you blocked him after 2 days, because maybe that could be a little sense of closure for you. Maybe that could be a way that you could go, you know what, I was right the first time, and I'm just going to stick, you know. Sometimes we doubt ourselves, and we go, oh, what if they change for the new person? They don't, you know. But knowing that is very, very helpful. And sometimes we need to kind of go through another couple of days of the mess in order to really, truly feel it and understand it. Because there's this thing called abuse amnesia, where if you stay away long enough, you forget the bad stuff and you remember the good stuff. It's an unfortunate phenomenon, but I see it a lot with people. Charlene says, wow, I'm so sorry, everybody. I truly am. Let's all heal now. Absolutely. That's what we're here for, honey. We are here for that. Yeah, Amneris, it is terrible how many people go through this, but know this. Let me just say this to you. And I've said this probably a bazillion times. Anyway, I've said it a lot, but it's true. When you go through a situation like this, when you go through toxic people, toxic relationships, all that stuff, what you end up with is a choice, right? You can continue to let them destroy you from your past, because they will. They'll set up shop in your head and, you know, be happy to continue to destroy you if you let them. Or you can just sort of show them the door. I'm talking about metaphorically here, and you can start to really, you know, sink your feet into the earth, so to speak. Figure out who you are, figure out what you want, and start to really live this amazing life that you deserve. And you become awake in ways that other people aren't. You become connected in ways that other people aren't. And this is, I think, the silver lining of all of this, is that when you really have gone through the ringer the way that so many of us have, and you take the time to heal, and you take the time to rediscover yourself, figure out who you are, you know, sort of re-perceive the world around you, because you get rid of all those old messages that were told to you about yourself and the world that maybe weren't true, well, then you have almost a clean slate, and you can almost be whatever you want. It's kind of empowering and exciting when you think about it. And so not only do you become sort of more awake and more connected, but you also, I think, evolve beyond the point of someone who didn't have to go through this. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with people who didn't have to go through this, because good for them, you know. But here's one silver lining to this ugly cloud, and that is that you can, you know, intentionally choose the next part of your life, the next part of yourself. And it can be a beautiful thing if you let it be, really. And honestly, I think if you have gone through this, you appreciate it even more than someone who didn't have to, because they don't know the depths of what you've experienced. They don't know how it feels to have someone treat them that way. You feel me? Okay, let's see here. Belle says, well done. This shows a tremendous amount of insight to Amneris. Absolutely. Yep. Yep. Okay, I'm trying to get to the next question. Now, here's a comment from Chrissy. She says, yes, Angie, changing your thought process and self-love language is so important in this healing phase. Absolutely it is. Yes. Yes. PM says, my ex-narcissist, hello PM, of 5 months, who did the best thing ever and discarded me. This is a great perception, my friend, because you really did get, you know, dodge a bullet on that one. Says, but clearly thought I would come back to him, is a YouTuber and is saying all the untruths about me. Doesn't bother me because of you. Well, thank you so much. And don't name him here, because number one, we don't want to give him any publicity. And number two, I try not to be involved in any YouTube drama ever. But I do understand you, and I feel you, where you're coming from. And I'm so, so glad to know that anything I've said or produced has helped you. That means the world to me. Yeah, like Survivor says, let him lie. It'll come back to bite him, and it most certainly will. Yes. Okay. Sabrina says, I don't trust my gut anymore. And that's understandable, because they teach you not to. But again, try. Try the things we talked about at the beginning of this video. Try to just be still a few minutes a day and listen. And if you feel judgments floating into your head, push them right out. And just listen to yourself. Listen to what your heart, your intuition, whatever you want to call it, listen, you'll hear, and you'll slowly learn that you can trust yourself. Probably better than you can trust anybody else. Hey, Chris, how are you? I'm doing well, thank you. Chris Linder in the house. Narcula Free, hello and welcome back, says, I can't trust my gut. I honestly can't tell between fear and anxiety and true gut feelings. Okay, I understand. And again, I'm going to say the same thing I just said. Try the things we talked about at the beginning of this session. And for now, just take a few minutes a day and listen. Just try. It's not something that's going to happen overnight, but you will get to a point where you learn to trust yourself. It's a baby stepping process. But now I'm to the point where, you know, sometimes I know the answer before I even know the answer. Do you know what I mean? It gets better. It does. Survivor says to Sabrina, you should, because it works for you. What you have to remember is to run when you see red flags. You've got this. Absolutely. That's truth. Yes. Chrissy says, yes, live in the moment. I love that. Absolutely. Mo Cowboy says, only one cheeseburger as you're running down the street texting on your phone on your way to work. I love your sense of humor, my friend. Con P says, I've been working on me for over a year now, away from the narcissist. Why do I still feel so stuck? Yeah, it's the same thing. You know, it's trauma bonding. It's all this other stuff. But now it's time for you to, you know, it's the perfect time for you to start to do the work of moving forward. I'm assuming that, you know, it's been a year. You've done your grieving. You've gone through that whole process. You've managed to sort of let go of that person. And now you're feeling stuck because what's next? Well, that's what's next. Here's what's next. It's the shine buzz. You go and you start to find things that make you feel good. You spend a few minutes every day on purpose feeling good and feeling healthy and feeling happy, laughing or loving or petting your cat or your dog, anything that makes you feel that really good, warm feeling, you know? Yeah. Okay. All right. Narcula Free says, how do you heal all that? We just talked about that. And there's obviously it's a whole process, but it's absolutely feasible and doable because here we are. Here we are. And a lot of us here get it. A lot of us here are still learning it, but it's feasible and doable and it can work. As Edna says, we can all do this. These monsters won't win. Darn right. Darn right. Oh, yes. Belle says, weirdest thing, I called Netflix about spammers. Customer service rep does not know me. He helped me, then randomly suggested I watch Fall from Grace. I did. Wow, I feel like a bit woo message from above. No, I get that. I watched it too. That was a powerful movie. How many of you watched Fall from Grace on Netflix? If you haven't yet, you should. It's something. It's something. And I'm not going to spoil it for anybody, but the end, you won't believe it. It's shocking. Shocking. Yep. Let's see here. Survivor says to Khan, because you endured one of the most traumatic events of your life. Exactly. If you had fallen from a building, which is what narcissistic abuse is like, then you would not expect to be better that fast, right? So know that you can and will heal. That's absolutely. And UNA says, this is not woo-woo stuff. There are reasons why this works, scientific reasons. Yes. Ding, ding, my friend. Yes. Narcula Free says, I've tried dating. I needed to prove to myself I could do it again, but it has been extremely hard with triggers and anxiety. I get it. And it's okay. You know what? Look, if you try it and you find yourself not loving it, I mean, look, we're all going to have it. Any human is going to have anxiety about dating. It's a fact. But when the anxiety feels debilitating and it doesn't feel kind of like that, you know, sometimes you get like that little, ooh, I'm so nervous. That's not anxiety that we're talking about. We're talking about, oh my gosh, what if this person becomes a horrible abuser and I have to deal with this for the rest of my life kind of stuff, right? So if you're not ready, you're not ready. And if your body's screaming at you, no, wait, you know, it's okay to wait. It's okay. There's no like nothing written in stone that says you must be healed this way by this time. And this is something I was just talking about last night. I'm gonna talk about it right now. I was talking about it to a client last night. We all heal different. I mean, certainly we have similar stages of healing. Certainly similar things can work for us, right? But everybody has just a little, their own little like twist on it, their own little tweak on it, right? And so depending on who you are and what you need to heal, you know, sometimes people will just absolutely steer clear of dating. For, you know, for me, it was like I told myself I'm going to wait, you know, until I'm legally divorced. And then I ended up waiting basically a year before I considered dating again. Some people need it to be more like 5 years. Some people can do it in 6 months. But when you're ready, you won't feel that horrible feeling of dread. You might feel butterflies. You might feel nervous and anxious and, oh, I hope he likes me or she likes me or whatever. But you're not going to feel sick about it in the same way that it sounds like you're feeling here. So something to think about. Give yourself some more time. Maybe you're just not ready to date yet. Bonnie says, yep, think outside the box. Absolutely. Let's see. I'm trying to get questions because I know we're getting down to the wire on time. Belle says, also very unlike me to stop my day and watch a film. Oh, yeah, with the movie. Yeah, for sure. Maybe that was one of those connections, Belle. Be open to the signs, you know. I like to think about things like that. And, you know, this is probably a little woo-woo, but I'm just going to put it out there for you anyway. I really believe that sometimes, you know, God or the universe or whatever you call it sends you signs. And if you look at them and you think about what they might be, you know, what they might mean, it can really help you to kind of... Okay, so from a scientific perspective, I'll tell you that's probably your subconscious pulling things out of the world around you to try to wake you up and shake you up a little bit, right? From a woo-woo perspective, I'll tell you maybe it's God, maybe it's the universe, your spirit guide, whatever. Either way, it works. Pay attention to the signs. I find numbers to be especially helpful. If you kind of see the same number two or three times, or you see the same, you know, concept. That the reason I watched that movie is because I saw several people on Facebook talking about it, people who I respected and thought, well, they know what they're talking about. I'm interested. Let me check it out. And I did. And I was floored. Yeah. Okay. Linda Stevens. Hello. Hello, my friend. It's good to see you. She says she's sitting quietly today. Understood. That is a good thing. Survivor says to Khan, you will be the most amazing woman when your healing is done. 11 years is a long time, but you've learned everything you needed to know to avoid narcissists. Yes. Just Be Real says nope to dating. Yeah, listen, you don't have to date if you don't want to. Some people decide to never date again, or never get married again, or whatever, and that's okay. You know, do what feels right to you. Don't let society or your family or anybody else force you into anything. You know, maybe you want to date, and that's okay too. But you don't have to, and you don't need to feel pressure to, right? Give yourself permission to do what feels right to you, what feels good to you, and do that. Okay. Let's see here. Yes, Edna, we are all getting better each day. Oh, hey, Jack Lumen. It's good to see you, my friend. Finally made a live stream. Yes, indeed, you did. UNA says to Narcula Free, it takes a while. You'll get there and feel less anxiety. Yep. Stephanie Sherman, hello, hello, says everyone needs to give themselves a year or two to heal. I'm here now in peace. It's a beautiful thing, isn't it? It really is. I know. Mo Cowboy says, an amazing woman. Amazing man, too. You know, I'm with you. I hear you. I'm picking up what you're putting down, my friend. That's why I try not to say that. I try to say person or him or her, you know. Chrissy Brown says, accepting me, that's great. Yeah, it's a beautiful thing. Yep. And Con P says, thank you, I'm trying. Chrissy says, we are all trying to connect with happiness and contentment with a narcissist. But when we connect with ourselves to get that happiness and contentment, we find our core selves and we are amazing. Yes. Ding, ding, Chrissy. That is absolutely 100% true. And I love that. Thank you so much for saying it. It's the truth. Yes. Yes. Stephanie says she loves the homework. Thank you. I love that you love it. Thank you. And Survivor No Man says, exactly, I agree. Please wait it out, y'all. I know it's hard, but it is worth it. Yes, it is worth it. Yes, worth it. Klaza, hello, my friend. She says, just expand abilities and don't have high expectations of others. You know what? That's actually a really valid point. And what I mean by that is expect them to follow, you know, expect other people to not cross your boundaries. Those expectations are acceptable. But outside of that, I really feel like live and let live, right? Like, don't judge other people for their choices I try really hard not to. Sometimes I disagree with someone's parenting choices or someone's fashion choices. Not like I know what I'm talking about anyway with that anymore, but or sometimes I disagree with something someone has done. But I, as long as that person isn't hurting anyone or isn't causing, you know, some horrible psychological damage to someone else, and they're, you know, I'm like, okay, cool. You know, that's you. Do you, boo. It's cool. Because when we stop judging other people, it's so much easier to stop judging ourselves. Try it. It's amazing. And really try it. The live and let live thing, the ability to let go of the need to have any influence over people who don't affect you directly, the ability to let go of even like with your kids. There are things that your kids are going to do, if you have kids, that are going to make you feel like, no, you can't do that. You have to do this. But don't do that. You know, of course, tell them, this is what I think. Of course, say, just so you know, here's what's real, or here's what I perceive as real. But bottom line, let's just say, I'm just going to throw this out there. Let's say one of your kids doesn't want to go to college. Well, you can stress out about it, force them to go to college, get yourself real deep in debt and have them drop out in 2 years if you want. Or you can say, well, why don't you take some time off and make a decision? You know what I mean? And the difference is that you'll not only save a whole bunch of money, but maybe they'll make the decision to go themselves. And when they're ready to go, maybe they'll actually flourish. Whereas if you push them in when they're not ready, they're probably going to fail and you're all going to lose money and it's going to suck. You know what I mean? So sometimes letting people do their own flow, follow their own flow. Maybe, you know, if you have a kid about to go to college, they need to get healed because they were with the toxic parent with you. You know what I mean? There are so many different reasons, so many things to think about. And that's just one example. But I just think it's really important to live and let live. Let it be, let it be. You know, I'm not going to quote the Beatles any further than that, but that's what I have to say. Okay. Yes. Survivor says we want to see the best in everyone, even when it's just not there. And that is so true. We all do. And that's partially because we are caring, loving people. And because maybe, like for me, I remember a point in my childhood where I told myself, you know, I'm going to try to see the best in every single person I come across. And it's a good thing to do. But when you come across a toxic person and you focus on their best, the good has to outweigh the bad. Let me just put it that way. When somebody, here's what I think is the best indicator of whether you should allow a person to be in your life or not. Here it goes. Spend time around the person. And how do you feel when they walk away, when it's over, when they go to bed, or when they leave to go back to their home, or when the date's over, or when whatever? Do you feel happy and relaxed and calm? Do you feel excited? Do you feel sick? Do you feel sad? Do you feel worthless? However you feel when you deal with a person, if it's on the positive side of the scale, anywhere from neutral to amazing, great. If it's below neutral toward bad, all the way to the worst thing you've ever felt, you know what to do. You know, this is listening to your intuition. This is listening to your body, listening to your physical self and your intuitive self. And how do you react to that person? Do you feel excited and happy when you know they're coming, or do you start freaking out and getting anxious? That's it. That's something to think about. All right. Let's see here. Conspiracy Nikki says, I will be any of y'all's family member. Love that. Love it, love it. Jack says, I have met other INFJs in the last community I was in. Now, I am an ENFP last time I tested. And I think that's something, an ENFPA, which the A means assertive versus T, which is turbulent. And it's interesting because my kids both tested as INFPT. So they were more introverted, but my extroversion was like 52%. So I'm kind of right in the middle there. And they were kind of, you know, 48% on the E. So, but the turbulent and the assertiveness, I think, is a matter of maturity, you know, because right now they're still young and they're kind of, oh, drama. It's fun to have drama, whatever. That's the turbulence. But the assertiveness being, you know, a calmer and more direct way of enforcing boundaries, for example. Anyway, okay. Yeah, exactly, LDR. Be careful with seeing the best because sometimes it's fake. Go with your gut. And that's exactly right. Yeah, exactly right. Okay. Crystal says that's so cool. Yeah, right on. Okay, guys, I am just about to be wrapping up. So, oh, Nargis. Hey. Go to 16personalities.com and take the test. And if you guys want, when I come back on Tuesday, we can talk about this some more. It fascinates me. So I'll be here on Tuesday morning and Tuesday afternoon. So, yeah, Khan says I'm an INFJ too. Lise is also an INFJ, my fellow coach over at Queen being one of them. So anyway, oh yeah. Yeah, UNA says I'm INFJT. Yeah, see? Okay. Oh, Ruth, I feel you, honey. She says, I feel like I got a parole. I finally got parole after a life sentence, and that's exactly kind of what it feels like. Narcula Free says, is it normal to not be able to do things like read after the abuse? Like, I can't even read a book and retain information, and I used to love to read. Yes. And I personally think that that's sort of a side effect of CPTSD, because for one thing, and you guys tell me what you think about this, but for one thing, something I went through was I could never really, really focus on whatever I wanted to focus on, because I always had to kind of have an ear open for that person. So if that person wanted or snow thing outside. So if that person wanted or needed my attention, I needed to be available to drop whatever I was doing, so I could never really truly focus on that thing. Yes, it's common. So what I would do, Ruth, is I would start to, little bit by little bit, you know, make yourself read one page and then put it down until tomorrow. The next day, read one page, or this is going to sound funny, put it in the bathroom and don't take your phone to the bathroom. Try that. You know, and once you find yourself kind of hooked in to reading it, then take it and sit down with it and read it. But until then, just every time you go to the bathroom, read a paragraph or two, you know? It's a baby stepping process. But yes, I experienced that as well, and I think a lot of people did. In fact, I just did a poll in Span on Facebook yesterday asking people, you know, do you read a lot of books or ebooks? And I think the largest majority said I used to, but I don't anymore. And a lot of people said it was because of kids were part of it, but also because of going through a toxic relationship and you forget how to focus and stuff like that. So, all right. Yep, yep, yep. Okay, everybody. Hello, delicate damsel. LDR says, for reading, I listen to audiobooks. I heard a lot of people say that in the chat. I mean, not the chat, but the poll as well. Narga says, the color suits me. Thank you, my friend. Survivor Nomad says, you guys bring such amazing things to the world. Right on. Hi, Grace Fair. She says, thank goodness. I've been so worried about losing my ability to focus. So would you guys like me to do a video? My pleasure, Narculacy. Would you guys like me to do a video about how to regain that focus? Would that be helpful for you? If so, say yes in the chat here and let me know. Yes. All right. Yes, Belle is. Jack Lemon is right. Belle is a warm and gentle soul. She's such a sweetheart. What's RH? I think I missed something there. Okay. Hey, Sam. Oh, yes. Good. Okay. Good. Okay. So I will do that in the next couple days. If not tomorrow, then Monday or Tuesday. Also, let's not do Tuesday. Let's talk about personality types. Would you guys like that? So anybody who's here right now or who's watching on the replay, go over to, it's like 16personalities.com, 16personalities.com. It's a free test. You just take it and it'll give you your results. Bring your results next time, and we'll kind of talk about it and see what we think. All right, it's just a fun test. Also, over on shine.buzz, there is an Enneagram test. I'm probably saying that wrong. Another personality test you can take just for fun if you want to. It just takes a few minutes, and it's also free. Yeah, Gracie says, yeah, focus is a huge issue for me. Robin C says, yes, we're getting focus. Yeah. Awesome. Hello, Christina. Thank you. I'm loving the crown. Thank you for being a member. I appreciate you for 3 months. That's awesome. Thank you so much. Yes, we have icy weather here today too, you guys. It's kind of funny. My kids are off school. Lucky I have a door on this room. Anyway. All right. Maura, yes. Everybody keep shining. Keep smiling. Knowing you can always, that's a song. But really, I will see you all tomorrow for another episode of Shine Buzz. Monday and then Tuesday for another live episode of Shine Buzz, as well as Tuesday afternoon with Dana Morningstar on her channel this week. So make sure you get your subscription buttons in. And if you want to be notified of these live streams ahead of time, you can always text the word Angie Live, all one word, ANGIELIVE, to 33222. And I will text you 15 minutes or so, sometimes as little as 5 minutes before I go live, so you know. All right. Hugs and love, everybody. Shine on. I'll see you soon.